We invite you in every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time to Goddess Unleashed with Diane Vick. Join her as she spreads her powerful story to shed light on the disease process from a unique perspective. Diane has a master's in nursing, is a hypnotist and health coach. One of her favorite statements is, "Your medical history doesn't have to be your fate." She proved this inspirational message by overcoming her own debilitating genetic condition. She uses her personal experience and expertise to connect the conventional and alternative realms of medicine. Diane's goal is to spread her knowledge to bridge the gap between these two distinctly different realms of medicine. Diane says, "Let's thrive together as we develop a mind, body, and soul connection to transform your body's healing potential."
Aloha, this is Diane Vick, Goddess Unleashed, and today on my episode, I'm interviewing Shyla Ray Sunshine, and she is a musician. She's a true inspiration. I met her a few weeks ago, and all I can say is her music has transformed me on my journey of healing my trauma from my childhood and really being able to surrender with her music and let go and allow myself to cry. And I was so excited to bring Shyla on. So Shyla, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, thank you for sharing that. That was really beautiful. I'm present. Hi, I'm from Canada. I live in California. I feel like I'm living my dream. I'm a mother and I'm a musician and I just love singing and I want the world to sing more and I want everyone to express themselves more authentically. So I try to come from that place of truth, you know, when I'm writing, and I'm just so touched by how many people appreciate the music that's coming through me, and that's what brought us together. And so I'm just so grateful for these connections and for especially just all the women of the world that resonate with my voice or my songs. I've really seen how it's, you know, bringing people together in a beautiful way. So it's very powerful and I'm very thankful.
It's been a beautiful journey and I'm so glad that you're here. I had no idea that I was going to find your music and then meet you within a couple weeks because it all manifested so quickly.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So, well, I work with Michelle Alba, so I used to take classes with her and I had heard your music a long time ago, but I had never really followed it. And then all of a sudden I was going through a rough time and my cousin had recently passed away and she sent me this song and I was like, it was existence and I was like, oh my gosh, I really was able to let it go and I felt it so deeply. And after that I was like, every day I was listening to your music, and then like 3 weeks later you come to the local Florida area and I was like, wow.
Yeah, that happened quickly. That entire that trip, the idea, the vision, you know, came together quickly but so perfectly. You know, it really didn't take much other than just these women asking me, hey, what would it take to bring you out to Florida? And I thought, well, I'm not touring right now. I miss traveling. I have all these new songs. I've got some time, you know, on my schedule where I can take off for a week. And it just happened to work out where these women just really helped organize this week for me, you know, and I was able to have I had such a beautiful time. I didn't want to leave. And I really enjoyed myself and I realized the importance of just continuing this, this flow of visiting a new city every month, you know, knowing that's still possible even during this time, you know, where a lot of venues, most venues are still closed. So, but if we can create private events, you know, I loved it. I was like, this could work. I could do this every month. Just come out and meet new people. Like, how incredible. So that's how that came together. I mean, there's more details to it than that, but.
Well, obviously. But yeah. I love that idea to be able to travel. Like, that's what I want to do, to be able to travel and teach and share and spread love around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I miss it a lot.
Everybody needs it now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know traveling's it's a little sketchy, I'd say, but it depends who you are. And I'm fine with it. I love it. And then because, you know, I'm kind of tied to the home with my children. We've been homeschooling for the past couple months. And so it's been refreshing just to be able to get out, you know, and see new places and share all this new music that I have, too. That's the most exciting part for me, honestly. Because you've been listening to the same stuff over and over again. And I'm like, I need some new material out there.
And you coming. You have stuff done, but you haven't released it yet. So what's holding you back?
Well, a couple things. You know, making music is easy. Being in the studio and recording, I shouldn't say it's easy. It's a process, you know, songwriting. And I'm happy to speak a little bit about that because I'm very particular about my process. And it's taken years to observe, like, my pattern as a musician, as a songwriter, and being a mother also. It's like, this isn't something I do full time. You know, I'm not able to dedicate 100% of my energy to it because I'm a mother. I'm always here doing that first. It's always my children in mind with everything I'm doing. So, but my relationship to music is so strong that, you know, it definitely is the first, you know, my number one passion and the thing that always brings me back to my truth most easily. So it's not far from me ever, but in the process of songwriting, you know, it can take months and months and months, just like writing a script or a book. You know, poetry is a little bit different, but with songwriting, you know, we're working with different elements because we're working with the story. What is it that I actually want to say? What is this about? What's on my chest? What do I need to get out? You know, what's on my mind? And then there's the process of actually writing the music, which I have to say, I'm a professional singer. I wouldn't say I'm a professional musician, only because I don't feel like I have mastered the piano. I'm still learning, you know, I'm still a student in this. I'm still learning to read music. I'm still learning all the stuff about music theory because I never learned that. I'm just totally self-taught vocally and on piano and percussion. And so that's the easy and the fun part for me. Recording is such, it's expensive too. You know, it is. It's a long process because sometimes when the songs are developing, you don't always really know what you want going into the studio. You know, you don't know what that sound is going to be until it is. Sometimes you hear it and you're like, I love it. And other times you're like, something's about it's not right. And then you got to kind of go back. You know, it's a lot of mixing and it's a lot of waiting on another person because I need assistance with that. You know, I have different producers that I work with and I'm on their schedule and a few of them have not been in the studio or they've been busy with other projects since this whole thing happened this year. You know, so that's why that's been on hold. I don't have an in-home studio. You know, I don't produce my own tracks. I don't produce beats. You know, I play the piano and it's a long process for me of finishing a song. And usually I would start a song and then I'd have to bring it to a producer or bring it to my band to help kind of develop it and give it a sound that maybe, not entirely a sound, but if you know what I mean, I'm speaking like really in detail right now about the process, but I only know so many chords on the piano, right? So I'll write the basics, just like I wrote Existence, Sacredness, and then a handful of others, you know? I wrote these on the piano, but then as I brought them to my band, when it came time to play these songs live or bring them to the studio to record, they shifted a little bit, you know, they morphed and they transformed into something a little bit more full, you know, because the other musicians around me and producers I've worked with have a different ear. You know, they're going to hear, oh, maybe the song needs to go here to really bring it to life. Or this is really going to shift the energy in the song if we open it up and we go to this and we put a bridge here, you know? So I'm so open to those ideas because I want to grow as a musician, as an artist. So I really love collaborative projects, you know, and I love being able to have producers to work with that can help me, but it's just on hold right now. So, but I just got a studio. I just got a new office downtown. Yay. Yeah, it's an office and there's a recording booth in it. So my music partner and I here, she has a bunch of equipment and we're just, this is just a new chapter, you know, where I feel myself stepping into, okay, what does it look like for me to be a little bit more self-sufficient and start to somewhat, you know, learn how to produce my own music, you know, it could be very exciting.
That is very exciting. That's a big step.
It is. I don't know if I'm entirely ready, but I'm saying yes anyway. I'm just I'm just in it, you know, I'm just excited about the idea. And I need a separate workspace because I've been working from home with my children here. And it's been a little much some days with both of them here all day on computers or doing paperwork. And I'm trying to teach and I have clients coming to the house. We're doing voice lessons, you know, we're doing vocal sessions. And yeah, I just need a separate space.
It's awesome to be able to create, even though we have all this really weird lifestyle right now. Mm-hmm. And to be able that you're able to collaborate and that you have this team now, you know, that you're creating new things together. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to hear your new music when it does come out.
Yeah. Well, you were there the one night, I shared a few. Did you stay for the ones where when we got the sound going? And
towards the end, we ended up leaving. But I think I heard a few of them. I don't think I heard everything, but it's super exciting.
Yeah. And you need to hear songs sometimes a few times, you know, we need to hear them a few times to like really remember them and get the feel of them. So, I shared a few new ones and those felt really good. And they're just sitting there ready. Some of them already, you know. Takes time. I go back and I edit and I this and that. And sometimes I just leave it hanging and I start 10, 12 songs and don't finish them. And then they're just sitting there waiting for me. You know, it's an interesting life I live as an artist and songwriter. I didn't know it would be like this.
It's interesting how creativity is like that. Because when I started writing my book, so I published this book here, The Truth About IBS and Anxiety. And when I was writing that, I was actually creating children's books simultaneously. And writing erotic novels all at once.
Wow.
I know. And then I ended up writing this book called Bubble Bee. And it was for anxiety because my son was having anxiety when I was writing my book. And I was helping him through it and teaching him meditations. But I didn't publish it because of my own fears. And I had to work through my stuff until COVID happened. And it's so interesting to see how we can create all these things and they're there in the back burner, but eventually when we're ready, they do come out and they're amazing in the process.
Yeah, I agree. Wow. Well, congratulations. I didn't realize that you were multitasking doing all that. How old is your son?
Yes. He's going to be 11 in January. So he's still 10.
Oh, wow. Okay. So he's older. Yeah. My daughter's about to turn 14. Crazy.
Oh, I have a 14-year-old too.
You do? Oh, how many kids do you have?
Two boys.
Just you have the two boys and I have two girls. Wow. Yeah, mine are 14 and almost 9. So
very similar in age.
Yeah. A little bit more grown, right? More self-sufficient. Woohoo.
Oh, absolutely. And the 14-year-old is like completely in his own world most of the time.
Oh yeah, her too. But it's hard because I don't want her wrapped up just on the phone and wanting to, you know, disassociate. I want to do things together that she really enjoys and keep our bond strong, you know, because I didn't have that with my mom when I was younger. So it's been really important for me to nurture that relationship and make her feel safe with me, you know, make her feel like I'm her friend. You know, I didn't know if I knew how to do that when I was younger. I mean, it was easy when they're toddlers and they're babies. You just love them so much, you know, and then they get a bit older and they have their own minds. They have their own agendas. They have their own ideas about the world. And, you know, you got to not make it about you and just continue to love them and be present with them, you know, and not sweat the small stuff, you know, that wasn't easy for me when I was young with my mom. So this has been so incredible compared to the experience I had when I was young. I just got to say, you know,
That's beautiful that you were able to transform your own experience to change their lives. Because I did something similar too. So my parents didn't know that I was abused. I didn't tell them until a few weeks ago. But that really affected my childhood and how my relationships played out. Mm-hmm. So for me, for my kids, it was really important to create that connection since they were little and really nurture them and support them throughout their lives.
Yeah, I know. It's like with each generation, you know, we're becoming more aware of these toxic familial traits, you know, with these like toxic things that happen within our family of origin. And then, you know, you really get to see the truth behind a lot of people and situations when when we remember things like that, when we remember abuse or we revisit trauma in our minds and our hearts and our bodies, and we want to have like that safe space to be able to share it. Sometimes it's the most difficult with those people, you know, because sometimes we don't speak the same language. Like my family of origin and I, we don't speak the same language. You know, it's like I'm very much about like emotional intelligence and just mindfulness around it, around our feelings and, you know, nonviolent communication and things like that, which hasn't been easy for me. It's been so hard for me over the years of like just like having a practice of just listening. I'm like, oh, I'm such a talker. I'm such a rebel. I'm such a fighter. Sometimes, you know, like I'll go till the sun comes up. But I've learned such valuable lessons in that and just attracting those people into my life, you know, who have more of a peaceful nature and who are there to show me, you know, that even the greatest challenges, you know, can just be met with that surrender. I didn't know what that was before. So, you know, coming back to it and just, I'm just speaking about this because I can relate because I was raised in an alcoholic home and there was more like emotional abuse, not so much physical or sexual. And, but it taught me so many things and it really showed me my dysfunctional patterns from being raised in that kind of environment. And then I just look at everyone else and I go, wow, we were all raised with some form of toxic familial traits. You know, there's some characteristics we've all developed from that. So that's a lot of where the music has come from, to be honest, like really looking at the places where I've made huge mistakes and then the beautiful things like Sacredness was an easy song because that was just an awakening, you know, that was like, wow, I just didn't know I could love being a woman and the fact that I'm bleeding. Like, I didn't know I could appreciate that so much, but I feel that deeply, you know? So that song came from more of wanting just like, you know, gratitude and celebration. Existence came from, yeah, I want to celebrate humanity, but I want to lift humanity up because we need it more than ever. And isn't that funny? It was like way back then, what, 12, when did I write that? 10 years ago, something like that. And here we are where I'm just like, no, now we really need
it. Yeah.
You now. Think back that, oh, we always do, you know, the message never gets old. It's like, we are always the ones we've been waiting for, you know, that doesn't change. So, but there's some other songs where the ones I'm writing now, I should say, are a little bit more truthful to what I've experienced personally, you know, as opposed to some of the older stuff. It's, you know, it's a little vague or it's a little like, you don't really know what I'm talking about. And some of them, I guess, I don't know that maybe that's just my perception. Maybe everybody reads me very clearly, but I'm sometimes like, oh, I'll just leave them guessing. Like, I'm not going to name exactly like the shitty things I've done or like talk about heartbreak and talk about suffering and talk about the things that are not fun or beautiful or joyous or positive, whatever. But it's important too. It's important for me to process that. That actually helps me process, you know, just like writing about it, writing a song about it is like, it's like journaling, but for everybody, everybody gets to hear my journal entry, right? And I make it singy and make it feel really nice, right?
It's beautiful that you can use, you know, your experiences in life and create something like that. And we all interpret your music and anyone's music with our own pain, our own trauma. And we experience so many things in different songs. Like, I have different playlists for different emotions. I have playlists to get ready for this show that get me pumped and energized.
Yep, same.
Your music is like, I'm processing grief, I'm processing sadness, but I reach that point of joy towards the end. And for me, Sacredness, I hadn't heard it until the event. And
oh wow,
I had always hated my period. I mean, imagine
a lot of women
abuse as a child. I basically thought my reproductive parts were disgusting and I didn't want anything to do with them, which made intimacy hard. And Sacredness really brought to light the beauty of what the gift I had, which by the time I hear the song, I don't even have a uterus. I don't have the blood anymore, but I grew to appreciate the gift that I did have and the two children that I was able to conceive and have.
Wow. That's powerful. See, like it's those kinds of experiences that just blow me away because I wasn't thinking about that when I wrote it, you know, I was just thinking like, oh, I didn't know what it looked like, but I just remember thinking, you know, what if I just was kind of, I don't want to use the term ballsy, but you know, that was the feeling at the time of like, can I do that? Can I just write a song about menstrual blood? Like, who does that? Is, have I ever heard a song about that? Like, no, maybe I'll be the one. Maybe I'll be the one to do this. And I'm sure there are so many more. There's not too many that I've heard, but you know, after just hearing so, so many women's stories over the years of just what that song does and how they relate to it and what it shifts for them and how it's touched them and how it's helped them appreciate them, their bodies more. I'm just like, wow, that's such a gift, you know? And I know that these songs aren't just from me, you know, these are, they've just come through me because I feel like at some point I made an agreement with my higher power, with God, creator, whatever, you know, just let whatever needs to come through me come, you know, whatever that is. And there's always truth to my experience in all of my songs. Of course, I'm not writing songs for other people. I'm not trying to be a preacher, you know, but the, so obviously I had my own awakening with it of like, wow, why didn't my mother ever teach me about this? This is, you know, like, am I the only one here that just feels like I've been left in the dark? Like, what the hell? And so it felt so good to just write that, to see like who's with me, you know, who's with me on this. So when I hear all the women's stories, I can relate to every single one. Even if it's something I haven't experienced, I still know that feeling of like, yeah, it's taken us years to really appreciate being women. And then look what happens when we deeply appreciate being a woman. Look at the power and the fierceness and the magic and the beauty and the healing that takes place, you know, and the collaborative effort, you know, when women come together, it's just like, oh, it blows me away. And it just, it makes me so happy deep down just to see like women working together, especially as mothers. That's just another, that's a whole other, that's next level. You know what I mean? I'm sure you do.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah. And I actually heard from Michelle, which I didn't know, that you actually birthed one of your, was it both your kids or one of them in your house by yourself?
I birthed both of them in my home. I had a midwife present for my first birth. And I'm glad I did because she taught me so much about birth. She taught me so much about pregnancy, about birth, about how to be a childbirth assistant or attendant, which is something I wanted to do right after I gave birth. I wasn't even writing songs yet, you know, when I gave birth to my oldest. She was, that was, yeah, 2006. So she, that was, I was 20. I was fresh to LA. I didn't know anybody, you know, I didn't really have a lot of resources, but I ended up finding this midwife because I was going to have an unassisted birth at home. And I, you know, I didn't have a desire to be a doula. I didn't even know what that was, but she, just the way she held space during my process, and I read more books about, you know, spiritual midwifery and all these things, started to notice, like, I started to feel really passionate about it. I was like, this is really important. Like, this is, you know, this is like fundamentals for just bringing people into this life. Like, this is just, should be fundamental understanding that like childbirth needs to be honored and natural birth should be normalized. Like, this just seems silly to me that we're having so many surgical births and so many interventions when this is such a natural process. And I was also 20 and very naive, you know, and I didn't have a whole lot of life experience, but I had enough experience with myself to trust myself and trust that this was the way I was designed for a reason. Like, my body knows what to do already. My baby knows what to do already. It was hard to trust in that, honestly. You know, I kept going back to fear, you know, now and again, but then it was like something in me just felt like, you're stronger than your fear. You know, that's just a made up thing. That's from brainwashing, movies, programming, thinking that birth is scary and it's fearful and that you could die. I'm just like, isn't it funny how, like, because the veil is so thin there. The veil is so thin, you know, with life and death at birth. So you have to, you kind of need to just choose one way of looking at it. You can't be going teetering back and forth, back. That's so uncomfortable. You know, you just choose, like, just choose to be in the surrender of it. And it's, that's the hardest work there is. And I don't know if all women are equipped or able to do it in this, you know, face it in the same way. But at 20 years old, I was, you couldn't tell me what to do. you know, I was just like, my way or the highway. So I'm about to have this baby at home by myself. And that's when the midwife came in and she was like, I'd love to support you. And, you know, we can work something out. We'll be very hands off, you know, because I wanted to feel like I did it myself. There was a part of me that was just so like, so independent. I wanted to be so self-sufficient. And
I hope you guys are having as much fun as I am interviewing Shyla, but make sure you stay tuned till the next half where she is actually going to sing and it's going to be part of our global hearing series. We're going to take a short break. This is Diane Vick. Aloha.
Empowered with Goddess Unleashed, Diane Vick. Every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Diane's powerful perspective inspires transformation by tapping into the body's natural healing potential. Diane has a master's in nursing, is a hypnotist and health coach. One of her favorite statements is, "Your medical history doesn't have to be your fate." She proved this inspirational message by overcoming her own debilitating genetic condition. Tune in weekly for enlightening ways to find your own unique wellness. Let's thrive together as we develop a mind, body, and soul connection to transform your body's healing potential.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, "Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network." For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Hi, this is Diane Vick. Did you know that your medical history doesn't have to be your fate? I can tell you more on a free discovery call. I help women with anxiety and gut issues overcome their symptoms using holistic treatments to release trauma and pain. Schedule your free discovery call today and see what I have to offer. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For over 40 years, Omega has seen more than 1 million people come through its doors to grow, learn, and find a greater sense of purpose. With over 350 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. Again, 877-944-2002.
This is Diane Vick from Diane's Wellness. Are you sick of the overwhelming stress and anxiety, or maybe your severe digestive issues and you're looking for a way out? I help women with anxiety and gut issues overcome their overwhelming symptoms using holistic treatments to release trauma and pain. It's pretty simple to reach me. All you have to do is schedule a free discovery call. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Schedule your free call today. See you soon.
So what is crappy to happy? First of all, I'm Diane Vick. I'm a registered nurse, an author, a professor, and I've suffered much pain and heartache with my physical symptoms of my disability and my chronic illness. And I created this class, Crappy to Happy, because I wanted to support frontline workers, policemen, firefighters, nurses, doctors that are still at those front lines dealing with patients and clients that have COVID-19. And they are experiencing extra stress because now they're exposing themselves to this virus and also their family and loved ones. But what I have learned in my 7-year journey of chronic pain and illness and autoimmune disease is there are ways to calm your nervous system and boost your immune system that can be easy and effortless. And of course, it's not going to take you 7 years like it did me. So I'm here to guide you in this short program to give you some simple strategies that you can help relax and calm your nervous system during times of stress like this COVID-19 pandemic.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Aloha and welcome back. We're going to jump back into Shyla's birthing story. Stay tuned.
Show the world what I'm made of, kind of thing, you know? It's just, I've always kind of been that way. Knowing and just trusting. It was like, I studied a lot. I studied. I spoke with a lot of women. I read a lot of birth stories. What else did I do? I just spent time talking about, praying about it, visualizing it, you know, all that stuff. And I think I did all the right things to help me personally be 100% prepared, because I didn't really have any fear going into my second birth. I was so excited. I was so excited to give birth. It was like, I can wait to do this, to just feel what my body's capable of when no one else is around and no one's telling me what to do. You know, just like a mammal. I really want to give birth like a mammal.
That's awesome. I didn't get to have that experience.
So many women.
I came from a life of
never have.
Yeah. I came from a life of fear, of chronic illness and tons of issues happening. And in my mind, I was going to birth my son naturally. And then we got to a point where he was so big that the doctors were fearful that he wasn't going to fit. And, you know, I ended up having a C-section.
Do you believe that?
I was fearful. I thought
you really thought that was possible.
Yeah, I thought that
was
possible.
Had you ever heard of that before? Had you ever heard of a baby being too big for a woman to birth?
Well, from nursing, yeah, I've heard of babies getting stuck and having to use forceps. And I know my birth was traumatic. Like, the doctor actually chose that he was going to take me out the day he did, because I was supposed to be born on Christmas, and he used tools to get me out. My mom wasn't even awake for it. Like, she doesn't even remember pushing.
Yeah, it's sad. There's a huge disconnect right there. You know,
yeah.
Where you were extracted from her body rather than you two being in a symbiotic relationship, which where you were the entire pregnancy, you know, you're bonding in that way. And then the birth is just like this act of separation, which I don't agree with. Mm-hmm. I think birth is a communion. I think it's a spiritual experience. I think it's a healing experience, and it's meant to, and we're meant to feel everything. And I think it's when we feel everything, when we feel that pain, that's how we can access the power and turn it into pleasure. And that's what I had in my experiences. So it's very unusual, because most women have experienced some degree of trauma. And the trauma comes from not being in your power, because when you're in your power and you're experiencing, you know, and I'm not saying that you were not in your power, you know, I'll let you speak to that. But I'm just saying, from what I've heard in so many birth stories, is that, yeah, there were many women that didn't feel that they were in their power and made a choice based on what their heart's desire was. It was based on someone else's agenda, someone else's idea of what needed to happen. And we trusted in someone else's opinion or their experience more than our bodies as God designed us, you know? So I just took a different approach. And that's where I was just kind of like, again, I was 20 years old, and then I was 26 in my second. So I was just at an age where it was like, you couldn't fool me. You couldn't tell me that it was better to have a medicalized birth. No way. No way. I just didn't think that was, that's not what I wanted, you know? So, but it takes years and years to unravel some of that trauma and look at the story behind it. And yours even goes all the way back to how you were born. So that's where it really fascinates me, is like the science behind how we process trauma at our own birth, and then how we could potentially live that out in our own experience with our children, you know? And I know how I was born. I got all the information. So I had to keep that in mind of like, this is my story. I have to kind of, you know, flip the script a little bit, you know, and I have to look at it like, okay, I was also yanked out by forceps and for whatever reason. And then I was never breastfed. So for me, it was like, oh, there's the disconnect between my mother and I, you know, I always slept separately. My mom just worked full time when I was a baby, you know, or worked part time, was always gone. You know, my dad took care of me a lot. So there were just things like that where I just thought, like, this kind of like makes sense, you know, why there's this disconnect. So I've studied it. That's how I look at it. You know, I'm not just studying like the physical aspect of birth, you know, what to do in an emergency or this. Like, I was aware of the stories and the fear that we have in our societies, you know, around birth and how we've been programmed to believe that it's scary and that it's dangerous and that it's not something we should or could do on our own. When in fact, I think birth is actually more powerful when it's left undisturbed. So, yeah.
I think that's beautiful. I wish I would have had that experience. And when it was like basically taken away from me, mm-hmm. breastfeeding was like, this is something I'm going to do. There's no way I'm not going to breastfeed. And I ended up breastfeeding them both each almost a year, a little bit over a year.
Okay.
And I think that was the most beautiful thing for me. Mm-hmm. And to really help me to connect with my children and to feel like I was a woman and to take back my control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I had the same experience where I was very, very empowered by breastfeeding. I was just like, look at me. Like, I just pushed this thing out of my body and now I'm feeding it and it's growing and I love it. Like, oh my God, this is amazing. And everywhere I went, I just always had my tits out. It was just like, I was so proud of being able to nurse because I was never breastfed when I was young. And I was like, I'm being the change, like, you know. So I've just been a little bit, you know, I've been very voicey about my experience. I've been very, you know, and that's like where existence came from too. These songs, it came from what happened when I gave birth too. Like, that is a huge part of why I wrote these songs, because I never felt empowered like that in my life. I never felt so good about myself and like I did something great, you know, but the way I birthed and was raising my children, I just felt like, wow, I'm just like unstoppable. And I think that's where the music came through. Like, I just have to express myself. I have to like express how I feel through this. And I want other people to feel this way and like do that in their own life because of how I feel right now. You know, a lot of it reflects that. Like, even when I say you are so powerful, I am so powerful. That's one of those moments. That's probably the most empowering moment of my life is when the way I gave birth. So I'm always thinking back because there wasn't anything else going on in my life other than I walked away from a marriage that I don't know was serving me, you know, walked away from the marriage and I had the young child and I was like living on my own, kind of doing my own thing. And that's when I taught myself piano and the songs came through. I was about 23. And, and that was the beginning of that journey where all the songs just started coming through, you know, but it was a reflection of everything I had just experienced in those last few years after leaving home. You know, I left home around 17 and everything from 17 to 20 was like, it was a pivotal moment in my life where everything I did, you know, mattered. Yeah. Wow.
You took some big leaps, you know, I was always very safe. I went through school. I became a special ed teacher because nursing said no. And then I was like, well, I really don't feel like this is where I need to be. And then transformed into nursing, pediatric nursing. And then now I'm working on holistic health coaching because I realized that we can truly transform the pain that we experience into pleasure and work mm-hmm. through trauma in ways that aren't inside the box of conventional medicine, which is what I was mm-hmm. taught. It was where I was raised.
Most of us. Yeah. It's unusual to hear people who were, you know, raised another way. It's fascinating. You know, I have many friends my age who were here where I live in Ojai, Southern California. I have a handful of friends who were born here, born at home, never vaccinated, you know, never medicated with pharmaceuticals, you know, breastfed until whatever, fed organic food their whole life, you know, and they're some of the healthiest, happy people that I know. And I'm just like, wow, I want my little humans to grow up and be like that, you know, and then they've had all their kids at home. It's a beautiful thing, you know, because birth is an imprint. The way we're born into this world, it's like it makes that imprint for us, you know, and that's why sometimes we want to repeat the same thing or like, you know, just out of what's the word I'm looking for? More like, you know, out of not thinking of another way, we would just automatically want to do things the same way that we were raised, you know, if we're not open-minded, if we're not forward thinking about things, you know, and I think that that's the box that a lot of people are stuck in where they don't know that there's another way, you know? So I have a lot of compassion for people who who are in that frame of mind, you know, who don't know, who aren't aware of their power and the fact that they do have a choice, because we do, you know, in every situation. I mean, I'm saying that we, as in, you know, we live in a very privileged part of the world. So I'm speaking to that. I'm not saying we as like as a whole, because I know there are a lot of people that do not have, you know, real choice, but it's just our choice how we look at it. All right. That's the whole key. So the more I talk about birth, honestly, like I get really passionate again, you know, because I feel so deeply and I've just seen some beautiful experiences. And even just hearing your story, you know, like it's sad for me to hear like how many women have had to endure trauma just to bring their children into the world. Like the most loving experience they'll ever have. And then there's like so much trauma with it that they have to unravel sometimes for years, you know? And we don't want to keep giving that story power, but we want to acknowledge what happened and then acknowledge like, what are you doing about it? You know, what are we doing with our experiences of pain and suffering? Are we just retelling it over and over again? Or are we feeling it, processing it, letting it go with, you know, whatever ways works for you individually? And then are we able to really help others? You know, and I think that's what I've wanted. I've had these really positive, amazing births. So yeah, I can tell my story and make other people feel a certain way hearing that. But is that really helping? You know, I actually want to be hands-on and help women in their experience so that they don't have to endure that kind of trauma and, you know, and just create something beautiful with them. So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point I just retire from the music and I just, you know, become a midwife and do that as an old woman. It's in my vision, you know, but you know what I mean? Just around like looking at our, at the stories of what happened, you know, cause you have a story where now you're able to reflect to women and say, you know what? I made this decision. Maybe it wasn't the best decision. Like I could, you know, maybe going the medical route wasn't ideal. My children are here, thank God. But like, if I could do it another way, I would, you know, and then this is how we share information with other women, because there's women still pregnant right now, 2020, bringing more babies into the world. I'm amazed. I'm just like, wow, we're like still bringing kids into the world despite like all this weird stuff happening. But you know, we can't help it. We were born to reproduce and be these loving, incredible mothers. And so I even still would have another one, probably. Not wild. But, you know, you have an important story because your story can help awaken something, you know, in others. So I'm glad that you're sharing about it. And I always encourage women to share about their birth stories and their traumas and about where maybe like another option or another alternative or another route would have maybe been something a little easier, you know, on the mind, body, and spirit. So that's what I want for everyone. Just want to see babies come into the world peacefully. Right?
Absolutely. And I think it's important for people to share their stories in general, whether it's a birthing story, whether it's overcoming mm-hmm. a chronic illness. It's not only a healing for you, but it helps other people find perspective, find mm-hmm. their own way to be able to work on themselves, because it's all a journey. We're all facing challenges and obstacles, and maybe your story gives them a little bit of inspiration in that path.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really important, you know, and with how we tell the story, you know, like what happened, it's like at some point, what I find happens with a lot of people who are choosing to be coming from an empowered place, you know, rather than like a place of victimhood, you know, victim mentality of where, you know, we have the story, but we don't really know like what to do with it. You know, like we tell the story, this is what happened to me. I'm really angry about it. I'm really sad about it. I feel fucked up because of it. Or I've had all this suffering because of it, you know, or this is how it's sabotaged the good in my life. You know, I can relate to all that. It's what we do with it. You know, how do we transform these experiences of what we had, like into something beautiful that really can effectively like touch others and help others? You know, that's, and I don't know anything other than just writing of my story and writing through music, you know, and that's just one way. And that's just a way that somebody can like audibly, you know, like when you listen to music, you're listening, but you're also feeling, you're listening. So we're hearing and we're feeling a lot, you know, but it's not like a tangible thing. We're more just like, we're visualizing it. We're fantasizing about it. We're imagining what it would be like, you know, or, and we're remembering the feelings that come with it, you know? So music's that beautiful journey where you get to just feel a lot, right? And sounds, you know, the all like these audible memories that can come back, like the nostalgia. That's what I experience with music a lot. If I hear something familiar or something from my childhood, you know, it takes me back to that place, that time. Same with smells, you know, when you have that like nostalgic feeling of just like, ooh, like I love this experience, you know, I've had this before. I love this. And, you know, that's a way that I see I'm able to do that. But part of me wants to be able to do more. So, you know, rather than just writing songs, I want to feel like, oh, that's enough, you know. But I think when I used to attend births and do the birth work stuff, that made me feel like I was contributing more to society, I guess, you know, like I'm hands on, you know. And when you're doing podcasts and we're writing books, we're writing songs, we're hosting women's retreats, we're, you know, these are all ways, like I see everybody doing incredible work, all, and it's all for that same higher purpose. You know, we want to help uplift and transform others' lives while doing what we're passionate about. And that sustains us and that supports our life. You know, me being able to do music for a living is such a blessing. I never thought that I would be able to do that right now. Even as a single mom, it's like, what? I'm doing that? Like, I have to remind myself, like, you're doing it. You're doing it.
That's awesome.
It's a trip. It is. I mean, I always fantasize it, but you know, you don't actually know what your life is going to unfold. Like, you can fantasize and dream about it as a kid, but when it starts to manifest, you're like, oh damn, like I've made it this far. Okay.
I love how you talked about how music, you know, you feel it, you experience, you hear it. I kind of bring in multi-sensory experiences into mm-hmm. my coaching. So mm-hmm. I'll use meditations or I'll use music.
Yeah.
And then I'll have people use their bodies to actually feel and experience things more. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to be able to transform that experience for them to smell things, for them to sense things and remember things from their past.
Yeah.
Is so powerful in that mm-hmm. journey to healing. And mm-hmm. I know that you were going to share a song before we finish. Are you going to still do that?
Yeah, I can. Well, we've got a couple options. We've got, sure. I've got Into the Wild, which I always love doing. That's like me and the Shaker. So you can see how it sounds, right? You can see.
I love that one.
Is that too loud?
No, I think that one's awesome.
Okay. I mean, because it's that or it's a cappella or it's me like putting on a track and singing along to that. But, you know, it just depends. It depends. What I mean, it's your show.
I think Into the Wild. So one of the things that I teach people in order to make it, because I primarily work with women, in order to make it multi-sensory, I actually give them a yoni egg, so they insert it inside, right? So mm-hmm. I have one in there, mm-hmm. and as you are going through those vocal sounds, the hey yeah, it's squeezing. Mm. You feel that squeezing, and you begin to move energy.
I love
through
it.
Your body.
Okay.
It's a very unique experience.
I don't have mine in today, but okay. I kind of want to go put it in there.
Well, you can do it later.
Right? I think I had it in at the event when I was in Florida. Yeah, I brought it with me. I had mine. I bring it with me, you know? It's fun.
I use it every day. And part of what I do is I incorporate different ones. So there, mm-hmm. I didn't bring any with me today, but you know, there's different crystals that are work for different energies, different emotions, yes. Relieving trauma. Mm-hmm. So I have the black, I think it's opal.
I have a black obsidian.
Obsidian, that's what it is.
Yeah, I have one as well.
So the obsidian is when you're holding on to a lot of sadness, a lot of grief, you know, those emotions, and you really want to feel like you're crying. I insert the egg and I play your music. Or I listen to meditations, and doing that shift of energy as you squeeze, you feel those emotions coming out. Like your body's able to release them. Mm.
Mm-hmm. That's real.
It's real, I love magic.
It. Right? It is. Yeah, I'd love to share this song. I guess, you know, the most important thing to know about this song is that I wrote it in nature, and it's a song that I love hearing people sing to. And I love what happens when people sing this. I feel like they remember. I feel like they remember their ancestors. I feel like we remember our ancient voice. That's what happens for me anyway. And I've had other people share. And, you know, it's just me kind of reflecting on how I miss Canada and how I miss the wilderness. And how I used to live. I used to be very, very free spirited. You couldn't hold me down. And I was just such a wanderer. And it's me reflecting on how I kind of miss home a little bit, you know? So the song is like that remembrance taking me back, you know, and kind of being aligned with my lineage. And especially because my mother is Native. My mother's side is Native Algonquin from Northern Canada. So, you know, so that's where the Hayas come from, you know, where they come in. So I love when people sing that part. It builds the song. So so hopefully this comes out sounding okay. Into the wild I go, and into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom time, since I left my roots back home. Does that sound good?
Yes, it does.
I once tried to run away like a wild animal stray. Running, hiding, I was riding high in the sunset sky. All my life, all this time, I've been a warrior and I know why. I've been given the torch of a light, I walk in the darkness of the night. Years we fought for this freedom, years I thought I had a wisdom, now I see with new eyes. From this truth I cannot hide. Hey, ah, hey, hey, ah, hey, hey, ah, hey, ah, hey, ah, hey, hey, ah, hey, hey, ah, hey, hey, ah, hey, ah, hey, ah, hey. Hey, ah, hey, hey, ah, hey, hey, ah, hey, ah, hey, hey, ah, hey, hey, ah, hey, hey, ah, hey, ah, hey, oh, hey. I gotta believe I'm here, make a difference without fear, being seen over. Like a bird flies at night, like the lion strong and fierce, like the whale singing. I'd like to be bringing peace to you, to me, to you, to me. Into the wild I'll go, and into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home. Into the wild I go, went into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home.
I love it. I love it. That was amazing. So before we wrap up, let people know where they can follow you on social or get your voice
singing. Socials. Oh, yeah. That's my passion. It's like I love writing songs and performing, but I love teaching people how to sing. It's a beautiful experience. So I'm on Spotify under Shyla Rae Sunshine. My website is shylaraysunshine.com. But then IG is just at shylaray, S-H-Y-L-A-H. There's an H, R-A-Y. So you can find my coaching information on my website. There's a whole page that has all the information there. If somebody wanted to work with me, I do online and in person, of course. And yeah, and all the music's there. And then you'll find my videos. You know, it's all there. You can find me by either name.
And you can also find her on Spotify. I saw that you can sign up for vocal singing there too, because it popped
really?
Up for me today. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. I know I have a donate button, but I didn't know that.
It sends to PayPal and it talks about how you do vocals. Yeah.
Very wow. Cool. Thanks. Socials.
Very appreciate cool. That.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming. It was truly a pleasure. Thank you. Anybody that's listening, I want to remind you to support children with special needs and children that have been abused to help me make gift boxes for them. Go ahead and donate. I will share the link below this podcast. This is Diane Vick. Aloha.
Be sure to connect with Goddess Unleashed Diane next time, as each episode offers a unique synergy of conventional and alternative modalities to empower personal transformation. Diane empowers individuals to find their own unique wellness by looking outside of the box. Her inspirational message resonates throughout her show to shed light on the power of the mind in the healing process. Tune in every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Goddess Unleashed with Diane Vick on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Let's thrive together as we develop a mind, body, and soul connection to transform your body's healing potential. Take advantage of Diane's services at dianevick.com. That's DianeVich.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.